So what does the Bible really say about the Jewish people?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
That's a good question, Howard. Is today Thoroughly Jewish Tuesday? Well, we don't have the same alliteration that we would on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. We could call it Thoroughly Jewish Tuesday. But either way, it is Tuesday. It is The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. The number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. That is the number to call with your questions, with your comments, more to talk about in the aftermath of the synagogue shooting, more to talk about in terms of the rising tide of anti-Semitism, more to talk about in terms of the errors of replacement theology, which are raising their head once again. So a lot to talk about, think about. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Okay. A lot to cover. We're going to look at scripture. We're going to think through some issues together. If you have a question about the Jewish people, about interpretation of scripture, if you have a question about what the rabbis believe or say, if you've heard something you want to clarify, is there such a thing as anti-Semitism? Is that just another concoction of Jews? Give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. I told you yesterday that in response to the broadcast, yeah, I seem to have done something to the side of my cheek here, which might be slightly swollen. And every so often, a word is getting stuck, an S or something is getting stuck on the way out. So I'll have to be extra careful in my alliteration today. But I said on yesterday's broadcast, I guarantee you we will be getting ugly comments in response to us talking about the synagogue shooting, in response to us talking about the rising tide of so-called Christian anti-Semitism. And we are not going to allow our social media platforms to be platforms for Jew haters or Holocaust deniers or others. We allow for all types of healthy interaction, people going back and forth. But I assure you, if people were posting lies about you and your family, and using our platform, which reaches millions of people, to lie about you, you would be glad if we said, no, not on our platform. If you're a pastor and people were posting lies about your church and your ministry and your organization and giving access to millions of people to look at those lies with our help, you would be glad if we said, no, not on our watch. So we always allow vigorous disagreement. Every month, there are tens of thousands of comments posted, hundreds of thousands, I don't know the exact count, many of which are critical, many of which differ, many of which take issue with us. That's perfectly fine. And you know, our phone lines are open for people to call and dissent and differ and argue. And we bring guests on that differ with us. And we hold public debates with people who differ with us. I constantly go on other stations where people differ with me. I agree to do debates in hostile territory for these reasons, that we can air things out together. But if you called in here and you started to slander a leader, political leader, a Christian leader, a Jewish leader, you started to lie about them and slander, and we would correct you, but if you kept going on, we would shut that down. So just a sampling of some comments that were posted in response to our YouTube video yesterday's broadcast, which is live streamed on YouTube and Facebook as well, on the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook and YouTube pages, and then post it as soon as the show is done. Here's some of the comments here. I am not for violence, but the Chabad Lubavitch sect is a hateful cult. They believe that non-Jews are satanic and filthy. Their book, The Tanya, or known as the King's Torah, is a book that will incite violence. Okay, this is in response to us calling out the Christian anti-Semitism of the synagogue shooter and warning about the dangers of spreading anti-Semitic lies in the name of Jesus. This is posted in response to, I'm not for violence, but these guys are, these guys, it's the Jews that incited the violence. Number one, I am theologically opposed to Chabad Lubavitch. I've interacted with them since 1973, okay? When it comes to the gospel, they are my enemies. When it comes to traditional Judaism, I am their enemy, all right? We are in combat for Jewish souls. I am trying to point Jewish souls to Jesus. They are pointing Jewish souls away from Jesus. They believe they're doing the right thing in God's sight. I believe I'm doing the right thing in God's sight. We are theological opponents, okay? They are aggressive missionaries. We are aggressive missionaries. We just want to lay things out. We're each very devoted to our cause. And Paul in Romans 11, 28 says that the Jewish people, they may be enemies, meaning for the gospel. Some translations say enemies of God. That's incorrect. They may be enemies for the gospel. And Paul says actually for your sake, but they are loved by God, the Jewish people, because of the patriarchs. So even those who are opposing the faith are loved by God because of the patriarchs. And then he says, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. God's heart is still set on the Jewish people. In judgment or on blessing, his heart is still looking to them in a unique way. So Chabad does not believe that non-Jews are satanic and filthy. There is one quote that keeps getting repeated and recirculated. I see it on white supremacist, anti-Semitic websites as well. I was reading it out of a book from David Duke. I got the book where it came from, and it was actually not an actual quote. It was someone else describing what they believe was being said. All right? So just to make that clear. And Tanya, yes, there is teaching in Tanya, which I reject, okay, which is foundational to Lubavitcher Judaism from their founder, Shneur Zalman, that does talk about a Jewish soul being on a higher plane than a Gentile soul. It would also say that every soul can be elevated by turning to God. Yes, they do teach that. This book, The King's Torah, is not Tanya, and it was a book that was widely condemned by Orthodox rabbis in Israel and around the world for speaking negatively of Gentiles, okay? Just so you know that. They put out categorical statements that Jewish souls and Gentile souls are the same in God's sight. All right, here's another cause, another quote. The root cause of anti-Semitism in the world is the Zionist movement and the evils they've done and do in its name. Oh, so when Hitler massacred the Jews before the modern state of Israel, that was because of the Zionist movement. And when Jews have been slaughtered for centuries by professing Christians and others long before a Zionist movement, how are you going to blame it on the Zionist movement? Come on. Anti-Semitism is but a symptom, but not the cause. The solution is love and truth. Stop playing games with words to confound and dissuade from the truth. God sees your works. The root is the cause, not the symptom. So when I speak facts, when I put out truth, I'm just playing games with words. Friends, I told you yesterday, watch the comments. Watch what is coming next. How about this? Zionist Christianity is a false teaching. So in other words, when we as followers of Jesus stand with the word of God, because God made unconditional promises to the Jewish people, that's a false teaching. I lost all respect for Dr. Brown. 20 centuries of Christians were all anti-Semites. That's the truth. Zionist Christianity is the same as gay Christianity. It's a modern perversion of the gospel and post-World War II propaganda from the Jews, nothing more. You know who you're going to have to correct? Charles Spurgeon, J.C. Ryle, Robert Murray McShane, Samuel Rutherford, John Owen, and others. I'm talking about great Christian luminaries, all of whom said clearly and emphatically that if there's one thing clear in the Bible, it's that God will bring the Jewish people back to the land. And some of them said they'll be brought back to the land in unbelief and only then turn to the Messiah. Oh, no, no, no. That's just the same as gay Christianity. Friends, I told you this would happen yesterday. Did I not? Here's another. Since we're talking about genocides, let's talk about the Holodomor. Is that a mockery of Holocaust? The genocide of Ukraine during the communist rule in Russia. The main architects of the Enlightened government were secular Jews. So in other words, Jews are the real authors of Holocaust. The author of Zionism, Theodor Herzl, uttered the following schizophrenic statement: "We do not believe in God, but he nonetheless promised us Palestine." Yeah, God used a non-believer, Theodor Herzl, just like he used an idol worshiper, Cyrus, just like he uses unbelievers through history. "Sorry, I believe Dr. Brown is the same as the crypto-Jews, the olden days. In other words, I'm not really a follower of Jesus." Do you realize how deeply these lies have to infest people? Do you realize the spirit of delusion that has to be on someone to have such a level of Jew hatred that they take someone following Jesus for 47 years and being rejected by the Jewish community for doing it and say, "You must be a crypto Jew. You're a secret Jew. You're not really a Christian." How about this? "The Jewish dual citizens of Israel and the U.S. are Israel firsters, not MAGA. So every dual citizen living in America that is dual Israeli and American citizen does not want to make America great." Got that. "Quit killing the Palestinians for a starter and end the slow genocide of these people, and then we can talk. The nation of Israel was scattered by God, and they continue to sin and spit on the ground at the mention of Jesus Christ. Israel has passed a law that Judaism is the state religion. Christianity is harassed and churches burned in Israel." Number one, you do have right-wing extremists that have vandalized some churches, and it causes outrage in the nation and is condemned by the nation. That's number one. Number two, Israel recognizes evangelical Christians as true friends and actively works with them to honor them and to bless them and to thank them for their solidarity and support. Number three, it is an ugly lie to speak of a slow genocide of the Palestinians. Maybe 600,000 Arabs, they were not known as Palestinians then, fled Israel at the behest of their leaders and because of war when Israel's independence was declared in 47, 48, and the surrounding Arab nations declared war on Israel. And God miraculously preserved and kept. There are about 600,000 that became refugees. You know how many Palestinians today live in the West Bank and Gaza? Over 5 million. Over 5 million. How do you commit genocide that goes from 600,000 to over 5 million? And what about the 200,000 Arabs that stayed within the land of Israel? They're 1.5 million strong today, with more liberties and privileges than any other Arabs living in the Middle East. This is the garbage, friends, that we're dealing with. And this is coming from professing Christians. I'm telling you, there's a reason I've been raising my voice. I'm not paranoid. I'm not uptight about this. I'm speaking the truth in love. May those who have ears to hear, hear and be friends of Israel as opposed to enemies. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are going to turn to the scriptures in a moment. But first, I want to take some of your calls. 866-348-7884. It's 866-34-TRUTH. Love for you to weigh in. And listen, if you support these comments that were posted on YouTube, if you believe they're true and accurate, if you believe that the Jews are responsible for all the evils in the world today, then please call and explain. Give me facts and information. I have a new article up. The Jews are like everyone else. The Jewish people are like everyone else, except more so. Meaning, we have strengths and weaknesses. We have good qualities and bad qualities. We are good neighbors and bad neighbors. You know, on and on, whatever, however you want to look at it. However, we have a disproportionate amount of influence per capita, I simply believe, because God's called us out to be a light to the world, to be world changers. And when we get the mission right, you know, then you go to the Bible and from Moses to Isaiah to Yeshua to Paul to the world-changing influence, all the Israelites slash Jews, the world-changing influence they've had, the many Jews who've changed the world for the good. So we have a disproportionate influence for good or for bad, the Karl Marxes of the world and others who've changed things for the worst. So it goes both ways, disproportionate influence for good or for bad. But we're just like everybody else. Our strengths and weaknesses are just exaggerated, you could say. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Richard in Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
I just had and I wanted to get your take on it. I mean, I kind of have my opinion, but, the left liberals, can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. The liberals are trying to imply since President Trump took office, that's when we've been having an uprise and all these attacks on the synagogues and a rise in anti-Semitism and this, which just seems to be totally contradictory. And I don't know the association of the individuals that have been attacking these synagogues, but I'm assuming at least in part they have more of a tie to the Muslim faith than anything else. And I just wanted
thanks, Richard. Number one, anti-Semitism has been rising in America for some years. There are more and more documented attacks on Jewish people because they're Jewish. If you look at the Democrat Party platform for years, it has been leaning more and more in an anti-Israel way. Major corporations boycotting Israel, liberal Christian denominations boycotting Israel. And the shooter in California, his apparent manifesto, he professes to be a Christian. He was a church-going Christian young man. Talks about the gospel in terms as if he knew it. He obviously denies his faith by what he did. And he was a Trump hater, actually. The other shooter was also a white supremacist. They had that in common. But I don't know that there was anything much about his religious faith. And from what I can tell, they were both Muslim haters. Certainly this last shooter, if what's written in his manifesto is true, that he tried to set a mosque on fire or a Muslim center on fire recently. So what joins them together is irrational hatred of the Jewish people, some from a secular viewpoint, some from a religious viewpoint, but it is irrational. It's demonic. And Richard, I've pointed out over the years, even in lectures I've given on different college campuses, Yale, Columbia, and other places, that anti-Semitism is ultimately irrational. That you cannot connect all the dots between the different groups that hate the Jews. There must be something demonic about it, a satanic desire to wipe out the people that God chose for a purpose. The Jewish people are more accountable to God, so judgment comes first and blessing comes first. There's no favoritism. There's more accountability. But certainly what joins Jew haters together is a deceived spirit that comes straight from the pit. Hey, Richard, thank you for your comment and your question. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Winston in San Francisco. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I'm a supporter. I love your show. I just wanted to call and talk about anti-Semitism. Laura Loomer, who's been on your show, is actually suing CARE, the Council of Islamic Relations, Islamic American
yes.
Relations, and Twitter.
Yes.
Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have, and we hope to have Laura back on the show to talk about it within the next few weeks, actually. So
that's awesome. And we're having a rally in San Francisco on May 3rd, demandfreespeech.org. You know, she's been banned from Twitter, Uber, Lyft, Uber Eats, Medium, Venmo, PayPal, GoFundMe, and other people, too. We have a lot of Jews and Christians and conservatives who have been banned from all these big tech platforms.
Yeah, look, we must speak up to the censorship. We must reveal what's behind it. So the issue with Laura Loomer, when Twitter bans her account, you are no longer allowed to post. Your account is shut down. You are shut down. Was it because of complaints from CARE, which has been associated with Hamas in the past and which often stands in sympathy with Muslim terrorist causes and uses language to deceive? I don't trust CARE at all. There are Muslims in America that I would think of as honorable people in the midst of our differences and want them to be saved, but I think of them as honorable people. Well, people, I think of CARE as quite the opposite of that. But in any case,
Imam of Peace is also being banned.
Yeah, I know about the rally. In fact, I was invited to speak at it because I'm going to be in Fairfield, California, this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, speaking five times on the church and homosexuality. So everyone near Fairfield, Liberty Church in Fairfield, Saturday and Sunday morning, Sunday night. But may a spirit of truth prevail. May darkness be revealed. May light expose it. If folks want to find out more about the rally, and I was invited, I don't know more about it, Winston, but Do you know where folks can find out more about this rally in
San
Francisco?
Yeah, demandfreespeech.org. That's right. Demandfreespeech.org.
All right, thank you for calling and supporting us. I appreciate it, Winston.
All right, God bless.
God bless. Yeah, again, I don't know about the rally, what's going to happen, who's going to speak, how much I'd agree or disagree. But what's interesting is that, generally speaking, you got people from a wide range of backgrounds speaking out together against corporate internet censorship. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Nicole in Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I had a question. I heard Ben Shapiro on his show say that anti-Jewish attacks are actually the highest of religious attacks in the U.S. But my question to you, I don't know if that's factual. I'm assuming it is.
Yes,
but
it is.
My question is, oh, it is. Okay. Well, why has the media not given more news or support for these type of attacks?
Yeah, a couple of reasons. One is it's not politically correct, and the Jews are looked at as prosperous and successful and leaders, so they're not oppressed. They're not oppressed, beaten down minority. The social justice warriors are not standing with them. Maybe their Jewish friends are rich or doing better in school or, you know, whatever. So, no, that doesn't fit the politically correct identity politics narrative. That's one thing. Another is that the left really rejects a lot of foundational biblical truths. For example, if you'll see a denomination shift liberal, right? They were historically Bible-based, and now they shift to, quote, progressive, and they're going to rewrite and reinterpret the Bible. You'll always see them shift on three things. They will shift on abortion, and they'll go from pro-life to pro-abortion. They'll shift on homosexuality. They'll go from pro-biblical definition to a new definition of family, and they'll shift on Israel. They'll no longer be supportive of Israel. They'll become militantly anti-Israel and militantly pro-Palestinian. And we see it happen with consistency. So the lie that Jews control and Jews own the media, if that was the case, you'd think that Jews would point a lot more to attacks on fellow Jews. Yeah, there's a lot of Jewish influence in the media, but many times it's very liberal and doesn't even stand up for its own cause and what's right. You'll often get very, very biased reporting when it comes to Israel and the Palestinians, etc. So,
Is this a stereotype that majority of Jewish people are Democrats?
No, that's not a stereotype. In recent American history, that's accurate. It's unfortunate in that they often are on the wrong side of the very issues I just mentioned, like abortion and homosexuality. And they feel there are two main reasons. Folks can give others, but I'll give you my two main reasons why many Jews vote Democrat and are liberal leaning, maybe 80%, maybe even higher than that in America. So one reason is the fear of a religious right regime taking over, of a traditional Christianity taking over, which would then enforce its laws on the Jewish people. Because through the centuries, Jews keep getting pushed out, excluded, because they don't fit in with everyone else and they don't conform with the spiritually correct narrative you're supposed to convert, etc. So there's a fear of a right-wing religious government that comes in power and takes away Jewish rights. That's one thing. Another thing is it is a wrong perspective on social justice. It is saying, hey, we're fighting for the oppressed. We're fighting for the minorities. We're fighting for women's rights. We're fighting for the rights of homosexuals. So it is felt to be the noble prophetic cause to be fighting for these things, but from our biblical perspective, they're on the wrong side. They're fighting against God's very standards. Now, traditional Jews, which are growing in number in America and in Israel, traditional Jews will vote conservative, and more traditional Jews have voted Republican because that more reflects traditional Jewish values. And although they may not trust evangelical Christians that much, some do, they'll see much more harmony with their values and a traditional Jewish value. Hey, thank you for your questions. Appreciate it. We'll be right back and look at Scripture when we return. Same story.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to today's broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. Let me ask you a question. If you have listened to this broadcast for years now, we've been on the air, but going on 11 years regularly, daily. If you watch our YouTube videos and have been doing so for a while, if you've read my articles, which we've been posting for years, how often have I been talking about anti-Semitism? How often have I been talking about, quote, Christian anti-Semitism? How often has that been a major theme? How many other themes have we spoken about? I've been addressing it more and more in recent months because it's raising its head more and more. We address things as they're needed. We address things as there are issues. That's why you've heard me talk more about political issues of importance when we're closer to an election season or right after an election. And as there's major news, say, with gay activism, we'll be addressing that. Or with the unplanned movie and abortion. So there are things we talk about regularly over the years. But when we're talking about something repeatedly, it's because it's an issue. Look, whatever you think, I hope you realize that I take my calling in God seriously. Just like when your pastor gets up to open up the scriptures on a Sunday morning, he takes it as a sacred responsibility before God and to you, the sheep. I take this as a sacred responsibility. I know God's positioned me to be a voice, not the voice, a voice, a voice, a watchman. And therefore, I'm raising my voice to say, beware, beware. There is a militant form of replacement theology that is rising that casts off all future and present purposes for the Jewish people. And it does so using the Bible and doing it in Jesus' name. Danger, danger. It's a serious error. Not only that, there are anti-Semites with the standard anti-Semitic libels and tropes, the standard peddling of lies and misinformation and exaggeration, and they are doing it in the name of Jesus and quoting scripture to back their views. Danger, beware. You say, no. The Bible says the Jews are evil. The Bible says the Jews are Christ killers who displease God and man. Well, let's take a look at this, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to revisit some scripture with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. And we'll read first from the ESV. Paul writes to the Thessalonians who've been persecuted for their faith. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, where you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them at last. So notice, we'll leave the verse up here for a moment on our screen. Notice that you have a comma, right? You suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, right? Now, the comma is not there in original Greek, but let's get the feel of it in English. So the Jews, what did they do? They killed Jesus. They killed the prophets. They drove us out. They displeased God. They opposed all mankind. Got that? By hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they may be saved. Now, he is qualifying how they displease God and oppose all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they may be saved. All right? But as Catholic scholar E. Michael Jones quoted on my show, the Jews killed Jesus, the Jews displeased God and opposed all mankind. Blanket statement. Now, let's read it in another translation. Let's read it in the Tree of Life version, which is a Messianic Jewish translation in cooperation with top Christian scholars as well. Verse 14, for you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's communities in Messiah Yeshua that are in Judea, where you suffered the same things at the hand of your own countrymen as they did from the Judean leaders who killed both the Lord Yeshua and the prophets and drove us out. They are not pleasing to God and hostile to all people, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. As a result, they constantly fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them at last. Oh, that reads a little differently. First, notice he talks about Judea, and then in Greek, the next thing is Judeans, which can either be translated Jews or Judeans or Judean leaders, as recognized in major lexicons and major commentaries. And then also, you don't have to have that comma there, because he's speaking about the people who are hostile. They are the ones, the Jews who are hostile to the gospel, the Jews who are stopping the apostles from bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. They are the ones hostile to God, not pleasing God, hostile to man. Those ones, not all Jews of all time. And who are the ones that are persecuting the apostles today? The same ones that killed Jesus, the same ones that killed the prophets. In other words, the Jews among the people who did those things, that's who he's speaking about. Not all Jews of all time are guilty of killing Jesus. All Jews of all time are displeasing to God and hostile to all mankind. All Jews of all time killed the prophets. No, those Jews who killed the prophets, those Jews who killed Jesus, those Jews who oppose us, they are hostile to God. They are hostile to man. They are displeasing to God. They're enemies. That's what he's saying. He's not making a diamond. Those Judeans, or specifically those Judean leaders who did it. It's not that difficult to understand. And you say, well, why should I take your word for it? Because Paul elsewhere speaks in wonderful terms about God's promises to Israel and the Jewish people, and says even as enemies of the gospel, they're still loved by God because of the patriarchs, because of the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's biblical truth. That I'm not changing anything. I'm just saying let's be more sensitive in our translation. Look, even the New King James, which is a conservative translation, says Judeans instead of Jews. And the contemporary English version, which is meant for people with maybe limited knowledge of English, or English is a second language, so it's a more simple translation. Throughout the Gospel of John, it speaks of Judeans, or Judean leaders, instead of just saying Jews. You say, well, that's how John wrote it in his day. It was understood in his day. So a good translator needs to translate it in such a way that it's rightly understood today. 866-34-TRUTH. One more scripture, and then we are going to go back to the phones. So I hear this constantly quoted, constantly. We've addressed it, but I'm going to address it again. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, which parallels Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Paul writing to believers being persecuted first in Smyrna and then in Philadelphia. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. Here's what John says, or Jesus speaking to the churches, says in Revelation 2, 9. He says, I know the persecution that you're enduring. All right? I know your tribulation, your poverty, yet you're rich, as well as the slander of those who say they are Jewish and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested. You'll have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful to death, and I'll give you the crown of life. And in Revelation 3, it says that I'll make those of the synagogue of Satan bow down at your feet. All right, so notice, I know the slander of those who say they are Jewish and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. All right, so you say, well, it's all Jews are a synagogue of Satan. Oh. So we take all of the promises that God gives to the Jewish people in the Bible. We take all the words that Paul speaks about the covenant promises remain to the Jewish people. Even those who don't believe, God will still keep them and bring them back and bring them to salvation. When he says all Israel shall be saved, he's speaking about the Israel that does not believe today in context. 100% clear. People always quote Romans 9:6 and forget to read to the end of Romans 11, which is a massive interpretive error. And I give you scholar after scholar after scholar after scholar after scholar, God-fearing, Jesus-loving, biblical scholars who say, yes, when it says all Israel, it's talking about national Israel. It's talking about unbelieving Israel turning, all right? So what's John talking about or Jesus speaking about in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. The Christians there were being opposed by people who claimed to be Jews and were not, but were a synagogue of Satan. There are two ways to read it. One, they weren't Jews. They were Gentiles. They were some group opposing the apostles, opposing the gospel in Smyrna and Philadelphia, and they were claiming to be Jews, just like you get different groups today that are cults. They claim to be Jews, claim to be the real Israel, that they claim to be Jews, and they weren't. Maybe it means just what it says. Instead, they're a synagogue of Satan. They're a gathering place under the enemy. Maybe that's what it means. You ever think it could mean exactly what it says? Other possibility, they were Jews, but by opposing the gospel, they were not living as Jews. And therefore, just as the prophets of Israel rebuked their people and said, "You're a seed of evildoers, your rulers are like the rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah, you're a brood of vipers," Old Testament, New Testament, accusations against corrupt Israelite leaders. That's what it's referring to. It's a prophetic rebuke. You say you're Jews, but you're not. Oh, yeah, okay, you are Jews ethnically and by birth. Yes, you're still loved by God, but you're an enemy of the gospel. You're not living as a Jew. You're a synagogue of Satan. It's not saying all Jews who are not saved are a synagogue of Satan. It's not saying all your Jewish neighbor, who's the nicest person you know and friendly and raising a nice family and all that, your kids play together, he's of the synagogue of Satan. If you wanted to apply it, you could apply it if you're preaching the gospel and every time you go to preach, he undermines your attempts and he seeks to stop you, etc., and work against you. You could say you're not acting like a real Jew, you're like the synagogue of Satan. But let me say this. Paul makes clear in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god of those who don't believe, all, Jew and Gentile. And 1 John 5:19 says, the whole world is under the power of the evil one. We are believers, but the whole world is under the power of the evil one. And Paul writes in Ephesians 2 that all of us, before we were saved, by nature, were children of wrath, doing Satan's will. So it's not something special being singled out. Well, the Jews are especially children of Satan more than anybody. No, it's saying that when a Jew fights against the gospel and opposes the gospel and lies about Christians, that person is not living like a Jew. They're living like someone in the synagogue of Satan. And they are like others, Gentiles, who oppose the gospel and also manifest the spirit of their father, the devil, when they do it. That's what it's saying. It's not saying all Jews who are not followers of Jesus are of the synagogue of Satan. What a butchering and misuse of the Bible. Back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's go straight to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. We start with Aaron in Florida. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for holding, sir.
Yes, no problem. So I can ask a general question about the Israelites or the Jewish people, right?
Yes, please.
All right. So if we look at what's going on with the Jews as far as or how God dealt with them, we saw that God dispersed them amongst the nations, and he says that he's going to bring them back to the land, and it sounds like there's going to be a second exodus going on. And then once he brings them back into the land, it seems like the law will go forth out of Zion. And we could put some of this together if we're looking at Isaiah 1, 2, Ezekiel 20, and a few other verses. And so what I'm asking is, so if we see this pattern where God is dispersing the Israelites because they didn't keep his laws and commandments, and this would also eventually go with the Messiah because that's part of the deal or that's part of the commandment. And so if we see this, God disperses them for the laws and commandments. And then he says, I'm going to bring you back into the land. And then there's a verse in Ezekiel 36 where it talks about, I'm going to put my spirit in you and I'm going to cause you to follow my rules. And so if we see all this happening, we kind of look at the big picture of all these verses. Would it should the Israelites today, when they come to Christ, Is it okay to tell them to forsake the law?
Well, we're never telling them someone to forsake the law. That's not a New Testament message whatsoever. We're saying that Messiah has brought us into a new and better covenant, and that we now keep the law by the Spirit. That's what Paul says in Romans 7, not by the old way of the written code, but by new life in the Spirit. So if a traditional Jew came to the Messiah, I would not tell that Jew, stop following your traditions, even though some of the traditions I would find contrary to what the Word of God says. I would say, keep looking at the Scripture, keep growing in the Lord, get to know Yeshua better and better. And as they do, they'll be able to see which traditions violate the things of the Spirit, which traditions are at negative, which traditions they find as neutral. So I would never tell a Jewish person who came here, if someone came to the Lord, an Orthodox Jew, and Sabbath is precious and special to them, I'm not going to tell them, well, give that up and now make it Sunday. That's not a New Testament message. I would say now you can enter into a deeper Sabbath rest and have an even greater revelation of the meaning of Sabbath through the Messiah. But I wouldn't tell them forsake the law. I'd say find new life in the Spirit and a new way of keeping God's commands, which are written on your heart. Hey, thank you, sir, for the question and the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to David in Fort Worth. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome.
I was born in 54, and I was always taught this cannot happen again. And we've gone 70 years, and I'm going, man, it's the same lies. They're saying the same thing. Why can't you people see this and hear this? And it makes me think of Ezekiel 38:18, where God's fury rises in his face over the nations. And another thought that came to me was that, like, when Judah fights at Jerusalem, after all these hundreds and thousands of years of the attack on the Jews and the nation of Israel, is like a dam going to break with Judah? What, that when they fight in Jerusalem, that God's that fury, that wrath coming up, I don't know how God's going to deal with that, but where they go, all the tribes go into mourning after, well, how, it's just so sad and so sick as I listen to this. How can people be so deceived?
Yeah, you know, David, I had Rabbi Shmuley on with me yesterday, and he lived in England for years, and he said that he never expected to see the things happening in America that are happening in America. Things from congressional leaders, things in major publications, but he was emphatic about what great friends of Israel evangelical Jews have been. And David, you know, as for how things work out at the end, what's interesting is that in Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14, when God brings the nations of the world up against Jerusalem, there is some shaking for Jerusalem and the Jewish people, but ultimately he's bringing them up to judge them. He's bringing them up to judge them. So, amen, David, keep praying, keep standing as a friend of Israel. And look, let me be clear. You can, I'll say it again, criticize the modern state of Israel. It doesn't make you an anti-Semite. You can have differences with Jewish people. That doesn't make you an anti-Semite. You can have fair and valid criticisms about Jewish influence in negative ways. That doesn't make you an anti-Semite. What makes you an anti-Semite is when you brand a people as the Jews are this, the Jews are that, and join that to lies, exaggerations, stereotypes, etc. Yeah, American blacks are this. American Hispanics are this. American whites are this. American women are this. American men are this. Well, we can't do that. We can't make those generalizations, especially if they're all negative and stereotyped. Same with the Jewish people. By the way, I've got a brand new updated revised edition, expanded, updated, of Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, due out in September. Just giving you a heads up on that, where we cover some of the recent trends. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Caden in Houston, Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I just wanted to thank you for your ministry. And my question, basically, I also do not subscribe to replacement theology. So I just wanted to get your take on, I believe it's Romans 11, verse 26, where it talks about all Israel shall be saved. So I just wanted to know what your take was on that, like on yep. like a literal level, if that's like the eschaton, or just your take on that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes. So, and thanks for your kind words, Caden. Without question, Paul is talking about a turning of national Israel at the end of the age. He's not talking about the accumulation of all Jewish believers through the generations. There's not a mystery there. There's nothing climactic about it. Rather, with the fullness of the Gentiles coming in, the Israel that has been hardened is the Israel that will be saved. He makes clear in the verses that follow, he's talking about Jacob. And you say, well, Romans 9, 6, not all Israel, Israel. Yeah, Paul says there's a remnant within Israel, and they received the promises. But then he uses Israel 10 more times. You keep reading after 9, 6. He uses Israel 10 more times to speak about the Israel that's rebelled, the Israel to which he's reached out, the Israel that has fallen. That is the Israel that will turn. I don't believe it means every last Jew on the planet, but I do believe it means a national turning at the end of the age in conjunction with the Messiah's return. There will be a national turning of the Jewish people back to Jesus, Yeshua, their Messiah. Zechariah 12, 10 speaks of it in the verses that follow as well. Jeremiah 31, 1, and that day God will be God of all the families of Israel. Hey, thank you, sir, for the question. It's not speaking about the church. It's not speaking about the remnant through the ages. It's speaking about a national turning at the end of the age. And it's not saying retroactively Jews from the past will be saved. All right, Jared in Arizona, time is really short, but I wanted to get your call. Please go for it.
Hey, Dr. Brown, this is Jared. Hey, one thing I wanted to bring to your attention real quick is that when Jesus did his work on the cross, he fulfilled the law, and that's what he said he was going to do. In Matthew 5, he also said he did not come to abolish the law, but according to the several verses we have mentioned in the New Testament, by fulfilling the law, he actually did abolish it and was able to put it aside.
Well, no, so, he didn't abolish it. He didn't abolish it. He didn't abolish it.
Yeah. Well,
no.
If you read the New Testament, yes, actually, if you just search the word abolish, you'll see the two mentions.
Yeah, but he didn't abolish it. So he was lying then. It was subterfuge.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:13 if you'd read that, please.
All right, but Jared, hang on. Okay. To be totally clear, Jesus was not talking double talk, okay? I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. I've gone over this countless times on the show in terms of what he actually means. Keep reading the verse. Read right up to verse 20. Matthew 5:17. Keep reading up to verse 20. Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be least in the kingdom of heaven. All right? No, he didn't abolish it. Why do you think he writes to the Corinthians and says, Messiah, Passover is sacrificed for us, therefore let us keep the feast? Why do you think Peter hadn't eaten anything unclean when you get to Acts the 10th chapter? Why do you think Paul took on a Nazarite vow in Acts the 18th chapter? Why do you think Paul affirmed to Jacob, James, that no, I'm not teaching Jews in the diaspora to forsake Moses? I'm not doing that. Sorry, just got a slight ping on the side of my cheek that is swollen, hence some mispronounced words today. So if you missed my announcement earlier, just weighing in one more time. No, it doesn't. And 2 Corinthians 3 does not teach that he abolished the law either. Again, if you want to make Jesus into guilty of double talk, I'm not abolishing, I'm fulfilling. And by fulfilling, I'm abolishing. No, he takes things to a higher and deeper level. So no, we don't need blood sacrifices anymore, but you better believe we live by the moral law, which has been taken to a higher level. And the feasts of Israel are prophetic proclamations of his death and of his return, all right? So what's brought to an end is the Sinai covenant. And notice he says in Matthew 5:17, the law or the prophets. Has he abolished the prophets? No. So the Sinai covenant's come to an end. We have a new and better covenant, which God's law is written on our hearts. So, Jared, you need to reexamine that and don't leave out the prophets in 5:17. Did he abolish the prophets? All right. Don't leave that out. And don't leave out verses 18, 19, and 20 of Matthew 5. By the way, I do a whole show on that. It'll be coming up in a few weeks. Friends, stand with us in prayer. We're on the front lines. Shake the nation. Change the world.